Come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark
and Brooke.
Speak right now. And this week, we are coming at you guys with Brooke's pick of Bullet from 1968.
Yes, sir.
It's our first Steve McQueen movie.
Yep.
This isn't older than Clint Eastwood. Do we do The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly? Or do we do, which one do we do?
We did two of them, didn't we? No, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is the sequel. We did
It's Full of Dollars.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's older than this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is not our oldest action movie, but it's close. It's gotta be close.
Yeah, 4 years.
All right. Anyways, that was a whole lot of nothing. This is the first time watch for me. First time
me
for
too.
You?
Yeah. I think this is my first Steve McQueen movie, to be honest.
Me too, I think. He has another one too that I've always wanted to watch. The Great Escape.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I've never watched it, but it's gonna be on my list now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk to him soon, but like, I didn't realize he died so young.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Yep. All right. Before we talk about this too much, we will kick off our box office news and booze. What are you drinking tonight?
I am out of beer, so I'm drinking a little Negroni.
Oh, gross. Fuck. Nice. I am drinking a Michelob Ultra. Man,
nice.
We're at Sarah's parents on the weekend for her dad's birthday, and she made us margaritas. And like, man, margaritas got to be a top tier alcoholic beverage.
Dangerous, yes.
What?
Dangerous, but yeah,
dangerous.
good.
Have you had the Cutwater ones?
No, but I'm scared because they keep popping up on my TikTok now
Oh,
of like
buddy.
people like having two and they're like fucked.
Yeah, they get you. They're, yeah.
It's
They
pretty
fucking
much
creep up on you.
Like, I think it's like 2.5 shots or something, tequila or something like that, or
Per can, yeah.
Yeah, per can, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking, they're hefty, but they're so good. But yeah, the first time Sarah got them, I think she had two and she's just like, I can't go anywhere now. It's like, holy fuck. What have you watched since we last talked?
Quite a bit. All right, so we just did the Indian horror movie. We're talking about how we want to watch a bit more. So I threw on Bulbul. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. It's on Netflix if you want to check it out. I was kind of bored by it, to be honest.
Okay.
It wasn't that scary. It's like, this is one of the highest rated Indian horror movies.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. It was all right. It looked good and the story was interesting, but yeah, I didn't think it was that good. Watch Final Destination Bloodlines because that drops on Friday. I loved it, had a blast. Just this classic, man. Both of us bought the Fast and Furious 4K. So finally watched F9, first watch for me, and it was so bad. I could not believe it.
Is that the space one?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one either.
Like, it was so bad. And then I watched Fast X, and it has a lot of low ratings, so like, I wasn't that high on it, but I had a great time with it, man. Like, Jason Momoa was just having a blast. He is such a good villain. I had really fun with it, man. F9, I'll probably never watch again, to be honest, but and then I was so excited because I was like, sick. I finished my Fast and Furious, like, put everything on stats on Letterboxd, and I go to it, and it's like, oh,
Nope.
no. You have two more to log. Apparently, I've never logged Fast Five or Fast Furious Six.
Oh, really?
So I was like, God damn it, and I gotta watch those.
Well, they're doing another movie too, so
Yeah, they are. Yeah, comes
there
out this
is.
year actually.
Yeah.
And then I'll watch my first Ingmar Bergman.
Bergman, yeah.
Movie. Persona. Holy shit! What a fucking movie!
Yeah.
I have no idea what the fuck was happening in it, but it was. I don't know, man. There's something about it. Like, I'm gonna watch it again. It's on Criterion. It's only like an hour and 20 minutes or something like that.
Okay.
But man, it's such a trip. There's some weird shit happening, but I was like, yeah, I'm all for it. Like, definitely gonna watch some of his other movies. Yeah, can't wait to check him out. And then I watched So I Married an Axe Murderer. It's a Criterion channel again. I've never watched it. Kind of one I've always wanted to watch because everyone like absolutely loves this movie. Kind of like a cult classic kind of thing. I had a good time with it. It's classic, like Mike Myers is doing his kind of riff the whole movie. It was pretty good. And then tonight I watched The Talented Mr. Ripley. First time watch for me. I thought it was pretty good. So that's
Nice.
pretty much it. Yeah.
Shit.
How would you?
You watched a lot more than I did. Get mine up. I watched a goofy movie.
Nice.
Me, Brady, and Hunter. I don't know if you've ever heard of the band Magnolia Park, but
Maybe.
they do a cover of Powerline's Eye to Eye.
Oh, nice.
And so I was playing it in the car for the boys on our way to like swimming lessons or something like that. And they really dug it. So I was like, fuck yeah, this is a shoe-in. We're going to watch the movie now. And they enjoyed it. So I'm happy about that because it's one of my favorite Disney movies.
Yeah, nice.
I also watched Final Destination Bloodlines. Thought it was great. Had a great time with it. Definitely better than the last couple of installments in
Yeah.
well, previous installments. And then lastly, I watched Demons,
Nice.
which the Kilt and the Redneck just covered it, and I'd never seen it before. And they were talking about it in the Discord channel, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna fucking check this out. And it's fun. It's a good time. I had a lot of fun with
Okay.
it. A lot of like weird, goopy, gross gore,
Yeah.
like from the 80s.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a fun time.
Nice.
That's it. We're all caught up on Big Brother, trying to get caught up
Nice.
on AGT.
Okay. What's AGT?
America's Got Talent, bro.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Right, our box office, I'm still sharing.
That's all right.
For the box office, I'm gonna do our top six because I feel like this movie needs to get some recognition.
I have a feeling I know what you're going to say.
Just missed the top five in its opening weekend, and that is Together.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else, but okay. Yeah,
Okay.
cool.
Yeah, it brought in 6.7 mil.
Nice.
And then in fifth place, we have Jurassic Park Rebirth, which brought in 8.7 for a grand total of 317.6 gross domestic. In fourth, we have Superman, brought in 13.7. For a total of 316 million. In its opening weekend, we have The Naked Gun with 16.8.
Nice.
Second place, opening weekend, The Bad Guys 2, 21.9. And in first place, we have The Fantastic Four First Steps with 38.6 and a 2 week total gross of 197 million.
Okay.
Were you thinking I was going to bring Amnesia?
Yeah.
All right, so we talk about this movie all the fucking time. Neither of us have seen it, but we're both
No.
infatuated with the idea of it.
Yeah.
Amnesia 2 has now creeped its way into fifth place on the all-time list. All time?
Yeah, all time
All
behind
time.
Titanic, classic,
Crazy.
Avatar, what,
Absolutely crazy.
Infinity War maybe, or Endgame probably.
Wow.
Crazy.
So nuts. I wish I could f remember how to fucking
Yeah,
get.
because A24 is releasing it in North America.
Oh yeah.
And they, yeah. So it just came to North, came out this week, I think, in some US theaters. But
Yeah.
yeah, A24 is distributing it in in the States. And
Nice.
they're apparently making a dubbed version as well.
I don't want that. That's just gonna get ruined, probably. Oh, here we go. Worldwide. All time worldwide. Boom. There we go. Okay, this one is showing it in seventh place.
Okay.
But maybe it's not updated.
When
Because
I
it's.
looked, it was fifth, but apparently it's being released in the US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand on
Oh, man.
August 22nd.
It's gonna fucking explode then, probably.
And IMAX as well.
Wow. It's grossed 2.2 billion worldwide. Okay, so that's where the discrepancy is. Because box office, or the numbers, sorry, the site that I'm using, it's only showing it at 1.9.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's just behind the Titanic.
That's crazy.
Like Titanic is 2.23,
Yeah.
two, sorry, 2,222 million. And this one's exceeded 2.2 billion, so it's obviously right behind it. Crazy. Anywho, Tubi has the first movie,
Yeah, I think I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
so we should probably watch that.
I mean, probably, you know.
Yeah, it's obviously a good duology.
Yeah.
Anyways, what do we have for 4Ks?
4Ks. Let's see. So 4Ks, we got Master and Commander,
Nice.
Far Side of the World.
But
I always wanted to
this.
watch that movie, to be honest.
You ever watched
I've never
it?
seen it. No.
No? I remember it being good. I
Yeah.
love that case.
Yeah, it's cool. Late Night with the Devil. It's getting the Steelbook as well. Mission Impossible 7 Dead Reckoning. We got Convoy, Chris Christopherson, RIP. Fires on the Plane, Criterion. The Burmese Harp on Criterion. Better Off Dead with John Cusack and Sunset Boulevard. That's
Very
it.
cool, very cool. Nice. Not a very heavy week for 4K releases.
Not compared to last week, no.
No, last week was a lot. All right, you ready to talk about this movie?
Hell yeah.
Okay, like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about Bullet from 1968. Starting off the synopsis, a nonconformist San Francisco cop is determined to find the underworld kingpin who killed the witness under his protection. Bum, bum, bum. So it was directed by Peter Yates, who did Year of the Comet, An Innocent Man, Crawl, The Deep, and Murphy's War. It stars Steve McQueen, RIP. We already talked about that earlier, but he plays Frank Bullitt. He sadly passed away at the age of 50 due to surgical complications.
Damn.
Yeah. So.
Now I'm not a car guy, but apparently Bullitt is a model of a Ford Mustang, I guess,
I'm
from what
not
I
sure.
read.
I believe you. I'm not gonna waste time looking it up. But is it like the same? Because he drives a Mustang in the movie. I wonder if it's the same
Oh wait,
style.
never mind. So it's a special. Oh, they released a 2019 Mustang Bullitt. In 2019, a special edition 1968 version
Okay, so it's
based
like
on this movie. Yeah.
50-year anniversary kind of thing.
Yeah.
Cool. Probably be
Anyway.
sick car.
Yeah.
We also have Robert Vaughn, who played Walter Chalmers. Jake Quellen Bissett played Kathy. And Don Gordon plays Detective Dalgetty. I only wrote down one honorable mention. I'm sure you're gonna have it too.
Yeah.
Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
Very, very young Robert Duvall, but
Yeah.
still old.
Yeah. I know. Like I was telling you, I was like looking up, I was like, oh, Steve McQueen is only a year older than Robert Duvall, but like in the movie, like Steve McQueen looks like way older than him.
Yeah. But like this movie, 68. It's almost 60 years old. And
Yeah.
Duvall was still in his 30s.
Yeah.
Was he not? Ish? Yeah. Hey, he would have been.
Yeah, because McQueen would be 95 today.
That's fucking wild, man.
Yeah.
Wow. That's all I have for honorable mentions. I don't know if you had anybody else.
I kind of do. So I have Simon Oakland, who played Captain Sam Bennett. He just looked really familiar. So he was in Psycho. He played the doctor in it.
Okay.
And then he was also in 1961 West Side Story.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. Yeah, he just looked familiar.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, let's hop into this movie discussion.
Let's do it. Yeah, so this movie, we get the opening credits pretty much right away. It's one of those things where the credits are playing through like stuff that's happening. And I love this whole opening
Me
of like
too.
the credits playing. Like it like came out in 68, but it like kind of felt like 80s a bit, like
Yeah.
in this opening. And like, what do you like the whole Technicolor kind of look to these the movies back then?
I do because like I like older movies. I know some people don't, but they just have this sort of feel to them. Like, I can't even say that they're nostalgic because this movie came out 20 years before I was born. But it's just, I don't know, there's something charming about the way that they're filmed. And just like, as a person who enjoys movies as much as we do, I feel like it has such a classic touch to it that you can't not like it. I fucking love the score in this movie too.
Me too. Like that was like one of my highlights of this movie. It's like kind of like this jazzy kind of score that's playing through the whole movie, and like I really liked it. And like it the sequences, like it was played like at the right time and kind of helped the movie, right? A bit.
Like even in this opening credits, it was just like such a vibe, man. I was loving
Yeah.
it. I loved it.
Yeah.
And like I'm not a big opening credits guy. We've talked about this before, but I like this style, like where something's actually happening while the credits are playing.
Exactly. Yeah, so we see a guy who's in, I think, like a TV station or something like that. He's hiding from a bunch of guys. They end up breaking in. They're trying to shoot him and kill him. And you find out that his name is Johnny Ross. I believe he is a brother of a mob boss or someone who works for the mob in Chicago. And I think he, I don't know if he just like ratted on someone, but he definitely has information to put a mob guy away, basically, right? So that's why they're trying to kill him. And he ends up in San Francisco. He gets to a hotel and he tries checking in, stuff like this, and then he gets in a cab and a bellhop. You see him like call someone. It's like, hey, he got into a cab, blah, blah, blah. So like there's people like on the inside kind of working undercover to try and find this guy, right?
And this whole cab scene kind of plays into the movie later on, too.
Yeah, it's Duvall's character, Weisberg.
Weisberg,
He's not really in it that much. But he helps out later on with Frank. So we see meet Frank. He is going to Walter Chalmers' house, who I believe is running for to be a senator, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. He's a
And
politician.
yeah, so he got in touch with Johnny Ross to testify in a court to try and help his campaign, I guess, kind of thing. And like they go to his house and there's like all these ladies, like tons of ladies, and just him. And I fucking hated Walter so goddamn much.
Oh
Like
man, he's an asshole.
right from the opening, I was like, I don't like this guy. He's such a dick. He just cares about himself, and
Typical politician.
yeah, exactly. But yeah, he says that he has a star witness and he needs Frank to protect him, because they are going to try and take down the organization, is what they call it in Chicago. But yeah, and so Johnny Ross is staying at the Hotel Daniels. And so Frank is working with Del Getty to basically protect this guy.
Because he stole $2 million in mob money too, so that's why the mob's coming after him.
Oh, okay. I thought they knew that he knew something.
Well, I think that too, but yeah.
Yeah, and like we are talking about the music, but like Frank is at this coffee place with Kathy, who is his gorgeous wife. She doesn't really say much in this movie, but she is pretty smoking. And I love that, like, just the time before cell phones, because like he gets there and he's like, "Oh, do you have a phone I could use?" Like, and he's like gives Del Getty the number, like, "Hey, lady, if someone calls me, tell them that like I need to talk to him," or something like that, right? It's just way of communicating back then. And like you get this like jazz band playing in the background, and like just the music is so good in this movie.
Again, like it goes along with how it was filmed too, with the Technicolor. Like a score like this with the jazz and like the saxophones and shit like that, like it just feels like such a 60s 70s cop drama. You know what I mean? Like when you think of cop dramas, you think of scores like this, I think.
So yeah, they are taking shifts watching over John. Del Getty is there with another cop, and Del Getty ends up leaving because I think it's early in the morning, and Frank, I think, is on his way over there to kind of change shifts with him. And he gets a phone call from the front desk, and they're like, "Oh, who's he? Does he say it's Sam Bennett?" I think at the desk with Walter Chalmers or something like that, because the guy says, Del Getty calls Frank and basically tells him, "Hey, there's two guys at the front desk. They're saying that Walter Chalmers sent them, or that he's Walter," or something like that. And then Frank is like, "No, that's weird. Why would Walter be there at like 3 o'clock in the morning?" I think with Bennett, they say. So Frank is like, "Oh, don't worry, I'll be there on my way." And then so Del Getty leaves, and there's another cop in there. For some reason, Johnny unhooks the chain on the door and unlocks the door, and then they kick down the door, shoot the cop in the leg, and then knock him out, and then Johnny is up on the bed and they shoot him. You think he's dead, but he is not, technically, right?
Technically,
So we'll get into a bit of spoilers here, kind of got to discuss like. So this was one thing I was kind of confused about until like almost the very end of the movie. So this guy did die, right?
This guy did die, yes.
And the guy in the hospital was Johnny Ross.
No.
So this guy isn't Johnny Ross. He gets shot, ends up at the hospital, dies later.
Yes. Johnny Ross is gone. Johnny Ross is the guy at the airport later on. This guy is a plant.
So Johnny Ross isn't in the movie at all until the end of the movie,
I think
pretty
he is at the
much.
very beginning. I think that's him in the hotel.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we see the actual Johnny Ross again until the airport later on. I think.
Because those guys looked very similar to each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I found a lot of these actors kind of looked pretty similar to each other. Like,
That's fair.
I feel like Chalmers could have played fucking Johnny Ross too.
So there's two guys that come in. There's a hitman who is like just classic, has the gloves, has the long trench coat, has the what the gun they call it, what the gun is they say he has. Anyway, it's like a shotgun kind of thing. Anyway, but there's like he has another guy with him who doesn't really do much, but the hitman is like picking up the casings, stuff like that, and they leave. And so they all get there, they're rushing Johnny Ross out, he's covered up, the cop is out there, and then Frank is talking to the cop and he's describing the killer like perfectly. He's like 5'6", older gentleman with gray hair, long trench coat, gloves, and he knows the type of weapon they had. And then they get to the hospital, and they say that he has a 50-50 chance of surviving. That's Ross, they're talking about. And Chalmers is going to see them, and Chalmers right away is blaming Frank, even though the killer used Walter's name at the front desk. And Frank is like, well, like, I'll do my job, you do yours. Like, the guy used your name and he unlocked the door. So, and then Walter's like, oh, what are you trying to say? Like, get all defensive and stuff like that. And then like he's like, oh, I want my own surgeon here. Like, he calls up his guys, like, send my surgeon, like, wants the doctor replaced. Like, what the fuck? So what do you think of the whole scene with the hitman coming back to the hospital, and that whole scene with kind of the lead up, the doctor calls Frank and it's like, hey, this guy just showed up and asked where like a family member got shot. He's like, I told him that they're on the second floor, but I covered for you.
I like that scene because the doctor, after it all happens, the doctor, you can tell he knows he fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, you
But
shouldn't.
was Ross on the actual second floor, or did he just tell the guy like,
Oh, maybe.
oh, he's in this area?
That's true. Maybe he'd like just kind of let him astray.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. I think the nurse overreacted, but I mean it saved him, so good for her.
Yeah,
Because she
yeah.
goes into this stairwell and the assassin's just like in there and he's pulling an ice pick off of his leg.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a gun or anything like that. He's just like, and you can tell he's just like kind of holding it, and she like loses her ever-loving mind.
Yeah.
And it subsequently makes him take off running down the stairs.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I think Frank is like one of the smartest cops I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause like he calls his guys and he's just like, I want guys down the ground floor, I want guys on floor
Yeah.
two. He's like, I want guys everywhere. So he's two steps ahead of this guy already. And he
Yeah.
just got this information and he just like comes out with it on the
Yeah.
drop of a hat.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Good
then
setup.
we get awesome chase scene of him running through the hospital, like basement and stuff like that. Like, and then they have like the music going, and I love like the way it was shot too. Like, there's at one point there's like a weird camera angle that they had, and he runs into like some medical lab or something like that, and Frank like walks into like this closed room, and the guy's like hiding behind a wall right there, and Frank just like stops, and he just like stays quiet for like 20 seconds. Then the guy's like trying to slowly open the door, and then Frank like hears it and runs, just chases after him. Like, I just love that whole chase scene too.
Yeah, it was really good.
But then the guy ends up getting away. Outside, we see that John Ross had a cardiac arrest and he ends up dying. And then Frank gets up there and he basically tells the doctor, like, we gotta keep quiet about this. Like, can you do me a favor? Like, what can we do? And the guy's like playing with him because I think he like hates Walter, obviously, because he's basically fired the doctor. And the doctor's like, well, I can't do much, but I mean, I can make his papers disappear for a few days or a few hours or something like that. And then Frank is like, okay, and if anything happens, I'll cover for you and take the heat for you. And I love that Frank talks like to both the doctors, and then, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to tell Chalmers that it happened, that this guy died. Because he knows that Chalmers is going to want to get involved with it and everything like that. And Frank really wants to find out who this guy is and wants.
And he wants the killers to think that he's still alive too, right?
That too, yeah.
Yeah, so Chalmers gets to the hospital, and I love Chalmers just like trying to figure like where the guy is, and then the nurse that was on shift, like she's gone for the day, so he's talking to someone else, and she's like, "Oh, it seems like the papers have disappeared." And he's like, "What the fuck?" And then like I think it's not Bennett, but it's another detective or someone like higher up is talk to Frank, like passes the phone to Frank, and then Frank just like hands up the phone immediately on his boss, basically.
It's so good.
He tells Walter that he has Johnny with him. Yeah, so Bullitt and Dolgetty are at the crime scene again, and they're talking to the front desk guy that got knocked out. He saying he doesn't really remember much, but the guy had like a square face, and they're like there with like I don't know if this was like actually what they had back then, but it's basically like I don't know, like
Polaroids.
was it Polaroids?
I think so.
Because they like had different pieces of like shapes of chins
Oh, maybe.
that they put down, I'm pretty sure, because like he's like ends up saying like, oh, the guy had more like a square head or square face.
Maybe, like a Mr. Potato Head of photos.
Yeah, and then he finds out from this guy that Johnny arrived in a cab, and he gets like the name of the cab company and what cab it was. So Frank ends up going to meet Weisberg, who was the cab driver, and he's taken Frank somewhere. I forget where he was. But yeah, then back at the hospital, he runs into Walt again. And Walter is like basically just threatening him, Frank. Like he's basically a piece of shit. Like he's basically saying, like, I'll take you down, like I want my fucking testimony or whatever like that. Like he just cares about himself, basically. And he has like a newspaper with him, and he's like, oh, I guess we can't make the photograph today or something like that.
Just quickly going back to the cab driver, he was so fucking observant and he really helped out a lot in this whole case because they pull over at the payphone that Ross used and Frank dials a number and he goes back to the cab and Weisberg's like one of them, he dialed two numbers, one of them is long distance. And Frank's like, how do you know that? He's like, because it was a longer number. He's just like, I just know it was a longer number. But like, what cab driver pays attention to that shit? So he's able to find out that the local call was made to a different hotel. And then, did we figure out where the long distance call went to?
Not sure.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah. So we found out that one of the calls was long distance.
Okay. And then Frank runs into some guy. I don't know if it's another detective, but like this guy had the weirdest fucking sunglasses on. And then we see the killer. The pair of them, they're driving around. I think they're trying to find Frank's house, maybe. Or they're trying to find someone's house.
I don't know.
But Frank finds them, and we get into the scene that is probably the most famous scene of this movie that everyone talks about. And I do have to say, I think this may be the greatest action scene ever made.
Definitely up there for car chase scenes, anyways.
Car chase scenes, I think it's like number one for
It
me.
was so fucking good.
Like, I was amazed. I just couldn't believe it. Like, I think what made it so good is the sound. Because you have these two muscle cars driving through San Francisco, which if I've never been to San Francisco, but you've seen it before, it's just
Yeah.
basically hills and hills, and all you hear is like the car sounds, like the revving up and the going around the corners, and like they're driving them. Like McQueen drove, I think, and someone else drove the
McQueen
cars.
actually drove that car. Holy shit, dude.
Him and another guy, they split driving it.
That's crazy.
But yeah, so and also like leading up to the chase, like this whole thing felt like a GTA mission to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Frank is like behind them, like trying to d get too close, and then they're like looking behind and they're just driving, and another
Yeah.
car gets in front of Frank and he has to like go around them. But yeah. But yeah, I do want to say that this film did win an Oscar for best film editing,
Okay.
and it was nominated for best sound.
That definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
Good. Nice.
But yeah, I thought I love the camera work in this movie, like just the way that it was filmed. Like you had some viewpoints from like each car of them just going down and boom.
Yeah.
And yeah, just a lie. This whole car chase was insane. It was like 5 minutes. They're in like the city, and they get out of the city on the highway, and they're just fucking going through cars, and it's going on forever. And then like a motorcycle comes around and like almost hits Frank. Frank ends up like almost crashing, and then gets caught up again. And then the guy is trying to shoot Frank through the window, and then he ends up crashing them into a gas station, and just a massive explosion, and they die right away. They get burnt out.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I wanted to bring up. So I rented this on Prime. The Prime rating was 7+ for flashing lights.
Okay.
Like the parental warning was
Yeah.
ages 7 and up for flashing lights.
Same.
Meanwhile, we watched two men
Yeah.
get burned alive
Yeah.
in a car
Yeah.
after they crash into a gas station. No warning for that whatsoever.
No.
I just thought it was funny. Like flashing
Yeah.
lights was your only warning for this.
But yeah, what did you think of like the car chase? Like, were you?
Oh, it was phenomenal. And I think it really paved the way, no pun intended, for future car chase scenes. Like you can see a lot of inspiration in like Fast and the Furious, like some of their car chase scenes where they're on a highway or in San Francisco, shit like that. And like you said, like the whole GTA thing, like you got to think that maybe some of those missions came from inspiration from this. It just, yeah, when people talk about this movie, this is the scene that they talk about. And I've never seen this movie before, but I
Oh
knew
yeah.
about the scene.
Yeah,
So.
exactly. Yeah, so Frank ends up getting back to, I think, the station, and he's in there with Walter, his boss, I think Dalgetty and Bennett. And they're basically pissed at Frank because his only two witnesses or possible leads are dead. And then he's like, well, I have a lead. Well, I can't fucking trust this guy, like,
Yeah.
whatever. And he has a lead on a girlfriend, possibly of Johnny Ross, Natassi Simmons or something like that, who's at a hotel. And so he gets to the hotel. And this is where, like, at this point, I was like, but what's the whole point of, like, the story? And then you see Johnny Ross. And I was like, wait, what the fuck was that? Johnny Ross? Like, did I see that correctly? And I was like, what is happening right
Yeah.
And then you learn that his girlfriend was strangled. And Frank has Kathy with him, and she ends up going in the crime scene for some reason and seeing the dead
Yeah.
girl. It's like, what are you going in there for? So they end up leaving, and she gets pissed at him. She's
Yeah,
kind of
she
pissed at like how, like, kind of the way he acts, because he's very like not emotional, like, right?
I mean, it's not the first time you've seen a dead body, right? She can't fault him for that.
Yeah.
He's a fucking cop.
So then him and Dalgetty are in the evidence room, and they grab two suitcases that were at a crime scene. They're looking through them. They find like these, I don't know what they were, like checks kind of, but they were like, they were worth money, right? Because like, they're like, all these guys are fucking loaded. Like, holy shit.
Traveler's checks, worth $100,000 each.
Okay. And then they find two passports, and one of them says Albert E. Rennick and then Dorothy E. Rennick. And they're like, what the fuck's going on? Like, who the hell is Albert and Dorothy? So you find out that Albert was the guy who was pretending to be Johnny Ross. So I'm guessing that he got paid $100,000 each to do that. And then the real Johnny Ross went there and killed them and was probably going to take the money back, I guess. But Frank showed up, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
Because why would he just kill him for nothing?
Yeah, because they're supposed to be on their way to Rome.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Huh. Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, you find out, so we just said. Frank realizes that that Walter sent him to guard the wrong man. And Rennick is going to Rome, like you just, Frank is at the airport trying to catch them. In another movie that I don't know if this movie inspirated, that's not a word.
Inspired.
Another
Inspired.
inspired. Another movie that we did on this podcast, Heat.
Yeah, true.
Very reminiscent of the end of that movie.
That's the fucking movie. Because I was like, I've seen something really fucking similar to this.
Yeah,
It
very
was
similar.
Heat. You're
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
So I found out. Okay. So here is what happened to Dorothy and Albert Rennick. So Johnny and Peter set Albert up in order to be killed as Johnny Ross. So
Peter is his
then
brother.
Peter's his brother who worked for the mob. So set him up in order to be killed as Johnny Ross so the real Johnny Ross could escape the mob and go to Rome. Johnny then killed Dorothy, who's Albert's wife, to shut her up. So that's what happened to them.
So yeah, they're at the airport. Delgetty and Frank, they get into the airport and they're waiting at the gate for Rome. No one shows up, and then Frank, I think, somehow realizes, he sees on the thing there's a flight leaving to London, so he radios over and basically tells them to hold up the plane going to London. They run over. They're getting in there. Getting the people off, and Frank has no patience whatsoever. He's just waiting by the plane. Fuck it, I'm going in the plane. He's just walking to the back, and then you see Johnny Ross, and he looks confused at first, but then I think he realizes like, oh, this guy's after me. And I'm like, okay, where are you gonna run to, man? And then just runs to the back of the plane, opens the door, jumps off the plane.
Man, 15 to 20 foot drop
Yeah.
onto a tarmac and just runs away like nothing.
Yeah. And then he pulls a gun, and I was like, how do you get a gun on the plane? But I'm like, okay, it's 19, probably 66,
That's
67.
a good point. I never thought of that.
It's like no security whatsoever.
They not even have metal detectors back then?
I don't know, like,
That's a good point. I never even fucking thought of that.
but yeah, so Frank's chasing after him, the guy shooting out a couple times. And I thought that one of these guys didn't get sucked up by an airplane, to be honest, by how close they were getting. Like Frank at one point like lies on the tarmac and a plane goes over him.
So wild.
Yeah.
So metal detectors didn't begin appearing in airports until the early 70s.
Okay.
The first ever walk-through metal detector was used at New Orleans International Airport in July 1970. So he could have gotten away with it in 1968, which is wild.
Yeah.
I think they just did pat-downs until then.
Probably. So the guy ends up making it into the airport again, and Frank is chasing after him. He gets in there, he's like looking. He think calls Del Getty and basically says like the guy's in here, like go get security. So security and Del Getty, they're two looking for him, and Frank ends up seeing him, but he's not making like any sort of like movement. He just was playing it calm, cool, and collected because he knows the guy's a gun, right? And they get like close to like an exit, and then the guy starts to run away into like the exit, and then he shoots a cop on the outside, and then Frank shoots him through the glass and kills him. And I thought it was so weird too, like all these people are around and they're just like crying and like, oh my God. And then like at one point you see like a priest like kneeling beside John Ross praying. I'm like, you know, this guy is a criminal, right?
You can hear one person say to like, oh, poor guy, like I wonder what he did. It's like obviously something bad. You just watched him shoot a security guard.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you not like crying for the cop that just got killed?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. They kill Johnny Ross, and yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how it ends. Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, that's the way the tires squeal, I guess. I don't know.
All right, I'll take it.
Uh,
How did you rate this movie?
so I gave it a 4 out of 5. I was really close to giving it a 4.5, but I think I had to wait. My review or my rating may go up a bit, but I didn't know what I was going to expect going to this movie. And I loved it. I had a good time with it. It's not like exhilarating and fun like every other cop movie. Like there's not really any comedy. It's just a no bullshit detective cop movie. There's only a couple action scenes, like not really, I guess you could say, like the car scene obviously, but that's it. But I just had a good time with it. I love the characters in this movie. I love Frank. I love the way it was shot, the sounds, the editing, the score, like we said, the way it looks. Like, I definitely watch this movie again, 100%. So, and yeah, The Great Escape is also on Tubi, so I may check that out too.
Nice. Yeah, I want to watch it.
How about you?
I give it a 3.5.
Okay.
I enjoyed it a lot in the second half.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like the first half really kind of dragged on. Not a lot was going on. There was a couple times where I was just like, is this even an action movie? And then in the second half, it kind of ramps up a little bit. Still a really well-made movie. I love the score. I think the acting was pretty good for the most part. But yeah, I was kind of toying with 3.5 or a 4, but I'm sure on another rewatch I'll probably bump it up a little bit. But it's a little too long for my liking,
Yeah.
with not enough happening in the beginning of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. So the critics' consensus: Steve McQueen is cool as ice in this thrilling police procedural that also happens to contain arguably the greatest movie car chase ever. Based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I'll say like a 88.
You're 10 off, sir. Is it up or down?
Probably down.
It's up.
Really?
98%. That's on 44 reviews.
Okay, that's still pretty good.
Yeah. The audience gave it an 85% on 25,000 ratings and an average score of 4.1 out of 5 or an 8.2 out of 10.
Nice.
It's Letterboxd have for us.
Letterboxd has a 3.7 out of 5. Anthony gave it a 3.5. I don't know if anyone else. Screaming Cinema gave it a 4 to 5.
Okay. Nice. All right. Well, it's time for our
Cunning Stunts.
And how did you rate the stunts in this movie?
This is tough because like there's only really like one true stunt. I'll say a 9 out of 10.
For stunts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because the one stunt in this movie just carries the movie, honestly.
Right,
Like, I'm just so impressed with it. I don't know, it's probably too high, but like just everything that goes into that one scene is just so good. And then I don't know, I thought the guy that took the fucking shotgun blast Johnny looked pretty sick too, I'm not gonna lie. So yeah. There's we talked about that scene enough, but it's just too good.
That's
I have a
fair.
feeling they're gonna do the complete opposite.
I'm not complete opposite. It's your score, man. I'm not gonna. It
Okay.
just took me by surprise. That's all.
Favorite stunt, I mean I've favorite not to say it, so the car chase scene, I mean, what more can we say about it? And stunt I would like to try. I just want to say the same fucking thing.
I almost did too.
I'd say just chasing the hitman through like the basement and stuff like that,
Okay.
trying to see like if I can outsmart him. Like it's not really about skills at this point, it's just trying to find him. I don't know.
That works.
How about you?
My stunts, I gave it a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
So there's not a lot of stunts, but that car chase was a spectacle. And also, kudos to those guys for not getting sucked into a plane engine on the tarmac.
Yeah,
Pretty
that's true.
impressive.
Yeah.
Favorite scene, obviously the car chase. And stunt I want to try, I want to lay down underneath an airplane that's taken off.
Mean, go for it.
As long as there's no risk of me like dying, you
Yeah,
know.
exactly.
I feel like that'd be pretty exhilarating. I think I'd want to be laying on my back though, looking up at it.
That's fair.
That'd be wild.
Yeah.
But anywho. All right, that wraps it up. It's my turn to pick our next movie.
Yep.
This is a movie that we should have done a long time ago,
I mean,
almost a year and a half ago now. We're finally going to be doing Furiosa.
oh, yeah.
Remember when we did a whole 2 months of Mad Max movies leading up to Furiosa and then we never did Furiosa?
That's very true.
Was sitting there looking at Letterboxd earlier today, like looking at action movies, and I was like, oh yeah, fuck, we never did that movie. I'm just gonna pick that because.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's long overdue at this point.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Come back in 2 weeks where we'll be finally finishing off our Mad Max franchise.
Yeah.
Doing Furiosa.
Sick.
But yeah, and then in the meantime, you guys can catch us on social media at a podcast on Fury Road on Instagram. And thanks for listening to this episode.
Yep.
Definitely want to check out some more Steve McQueen movies.
For sure.
This is embarrassing. I always thought Steve McQueen was MacGyver.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Interesting. Okay. I
I
mean, because
think.
his last name starts with the Mick.
I don't know. I really don't know why. I think because I used to. I'm guessing because my grandfather used to always watch MacGyver and he probably watched Steve McQueen movies.
Okay.
So maybe I just got them mixed up and like associated them together. It's like I would watch shit with him back then. Maybe. I don't know. But kind of an embarrassing realization.
Okay. Well, thanks for admitting it to all the people.
Yeah, whatever. I got broad shoulders. All right. See you in a couple weeks.
See you guys.
Bye.